Welcome back, everybody. It's the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Fantasy Football Podcast brought to you by Reality Sports Online. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports, joined as always by the incomparable Pat Fitzmorris at Fitz underscore FF. Fitzy, it's a family show today. Just you and me. We're going to be answering some listener questions that you called upon for on Twitter the other day. But how was your weekend, and how are you liking how the Packers are looking, and any other takes from the preseason here?
Oh, it was good, buddy. So, man, it seems like every night now, every day there are podcasts, every night there are podcasts, every day and night there are drafts. It's like every day I have to reorient myself and look at the calendar. Like, what do I have? Oh, auction, podcast. So it's just the crazy time of year. And think about it, man, for redraft, like we're getting, I think probably over half the home league drafts are probably in the next 10 days, right? Like this is, this is peak home draft season. I think like, you know, probably 75% of them are in the books by Labor Day weekend. And it's like, we prep for this all year, man. And it's all kind of coming down. So, but I'm fired up about it, and I'm fired up about this show, Boggs. Like, I put out the bat signal for questions, dynasty questions. Man, we got some good ones.
Yeah.
And, I'm fired up to dig in because, like, this is, you know, we talk about the players we want to talk about and everything all season. But, like, this is what's on the people's minds.
Pointed so, questions. Yeah,
exactly. And we got some great questions. So shout out in advance to all the people whose questions are going to be read today. They knocked it out of the park.
Yes, thank you for sending in your suggestions on questions. We have 12 of them here to answer. But before we dive in, I got to tell you guys about some stuff we have going on over here at Fantasy Pros. We have a giveaway for a Christian Watson autographed jersey we're doing right now. All you need to do is subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/FantasyPros. Take a screenshot, submit it to FantasyPros.com/DynastyContest. That's FantasyPros.com/DynastyContest. And you are entered in to win. Do it as soon as possible because this ends at the end of August, and that is rapidly approaching. The season is almost here, so get on it. And speaking of our YouTube, this podcast is also available on our YouTube channel along with all of our other podcasts, quick-hitting videos, live streams. Subscribe if you like our content because it really helps us out. Click the bell to get notified of our latest content so you don't miss out on anything here. So, Fitz, we're going to run through these questions. The first one that we have here is from our guy, David E., and he says, if you could take your 2023 second or 2023 third and flip it for a player that you think another owner may accept, who would that player be? One choice at wide receiver, one choice at RB. I like these are very pointed, you know. I like that question. So, what do you like in terms of, you know, the picks are always worth more now than when you get to the draft, almost always. I guess I shouldn't say always, but it's the what's behind door number two, you know, behind what is established or what we've seen. But the thing is that guys coming into the NFL aren't finished products. No player comes into the NFL as a finished product. So it may take a year, 2 years, 3 years to develop a player. So I think that's what we're looking at, Fitz, here. We're looking for a guy whose value is low now that during the season could, you know, pole vault. Who are those guys for you that you would trade a future pick for?
Yeah, David E. like knocked it out of the park with this question because like I had to put more thought into this one than I think any of the other ones, because not only, as you mentioned, Boggs, like how we value those picks now, especially with what we know to be what we think is going to be a super class. So number one, it has to be someone like we want more than this unknown second rounder or third rounders, like someone we're excited about, yet someone who is attainable. So not many guys fit that list, and I kind of had to ponder this. So, like, let's say we're talking about somewhere in the later part of the second round, maybe early part of the third round, okay? At running back, one guy I thought of was maybe Ramondre Stevenson, like for a mid-second rounder. You know, those picks are going to be valuable next year, and Stevenson is certainly a guy who could have value this year. I think a mid-second for Ramondre Stevenson is pretty fair. Like, I don't know if anyone is really chomping at the bit to get rid of Ramondre right now, since he's there's
a little buzz.
Yeah, definitely some buzz about him. That's one. If we get into the third round, I don't know. Would you give up? What would you want? Like 301 in next year's draft or Michael Carter?
I think I would want Michael Carter, because I think when you get down to the third round, there's not there's usually not that value. I mean, sometimes there is when you guys draft immediately after the NFL draft happens. It does present value for players. I did talk to someone on our stages this week for my AMA, and someone said, we have a rookie draft coming up. And I said, wait a minute, you haven't done your rookie draft yet? He said, no, we always wait. And I said, God bless you. I think you're the only one that I've ever heard of that waits. But I think Carter, you know, right now he looks like the lead back with the Jets. Now, we both, you and I both, Fitz, I'll speak for you in this. Don't project him to be the lead back by the end of the season. We do think he'll be two, but two in a system like this, a Shanahan, LaFleur type of running system where these guys are going to use two backs, is a very valuable piece. So I think Michael Carter is almost a perfect pull for one of those types of trades, because I do think in certain scenarios you can get that done.
Yeah, and it is kind of nice that Saleh and the rest of the Jets staff are showing sort of this veteran deference to Carter, even though he's only played 1 year in the league, that they like what he did for them enough that, and that's a guy I would have had a lot of this year, I think, in redraft, had he not been suddenly relegated to backup, or at least we think he's going to be a backup behind Breece Hall. But like, Carter still has dynasty value because he's got that nice versatile skill set. Like, at worst, I think he turns into a Nyheim Hines type. Who knows?
What do you think about CEH, Fitz? Do you think CEH would be gettable with that, maybe that second rounder? It's the third year. Sometimes we see that turnaround in the third year, and that's a good offense to have a piece of.
If I'm the guy holding CEH and you're offering me a two in the 2023 draft, we have a deal. I'll take that pick and give you CEH, because you know I'm not a big CEH guy. So take that pick.
But that's the kind of player we're talking about.
That's Carter, a good one.
CEH, you know, someone whose value is low, that there's not a lot of perceived value on, especially when smart minds like Fitz are saying, I don't even want that guy for a future second rounder. It's a possibility. Now, that's a gamble. You probably have to be pretty set at everything else to take a gamble like that.
Yeah.
But
now tell me, Boggs, for wide receiver, let me give you three wide receivers, and you tell me approximately what pick in the 2023 rookie draft you would be willing to part with for any of these guys.
Okay.
Christian Kirk.
You would have to give me at least a second to get Christian Kirk right now. So I think a two would get that deal done. So,
yeah, like a mid second rounder?
I mean, yeah, mid to late. Earlier you're picking in that second round, because this is supposed to be a good draft class here that we have coming up. Now, things happen. It doesn't always break the way that we think. You know, injuries could happen. Bad play can happen. I mean, you know, this time last season, Fitz, Spencer Rattler was at the number one spot of everybody's boards. And right now it's CJ Stroud and Bryce Young, and we expect those guys to stick. Bijan Robinson at running back, you know, a lot of good wideouts next year. Jackson Smith and Jigba being number one on most people's boards at this point. But, you know, so many QBs too in a super flex. I think maybe not early second, but mid second, I would do that deal.
What about Rondale Moore?
I don't want Rondale Moore. I know he's your guy and he's fine. But we're talking undersized guy in a Cardinals offense that spreads it wide and constantly has a bunch of wideouts. And there are Hopkins and Brown and Ertz are just ahead of him in the pecking order. And I think Trey McBride will be ahead of him in the pecking order next year as well. He's got a chance. So a third isn't bad, but I don't think I would do it.
Yeah, like I like him enough where I think I'd deal like a 302 or 303 for him. But of course, you don't know where you're picking before the season. So it's hard to pin that spot down. But I guess I would give up a third for him, but not a second. What about Calvin Ridley? A third?
We've talked about him a little bit. A third at best you know, yeah. because I'm not, we talked about this, Fitz. I'm not wholly convinced he is in love with football and wants right. to play again.
Right.
So, you know, he obviously left the Falcons middle of the year last year. Then he had the big blunder, the gambling thing, which is just, you know, I know people don't like the punishment, they think it's unfair, but the only thing that can ruin the NFL is finding out that it's fixed. That's it. That's the yeah. only thing that can ruin it. So you get a whiff of any impropriety, anything like that. And guys, they tell these guys, they hit them over the head with it. Do not gamble. You don't gamble. It's the most sacred rule of all of it. You know, you don't gamble because that's the only thing that can bring the NFL down. So, I'm just not sure. I'm not sure I want to be acquiring him, but I think a 3 is fair. Like a 2 would probably be fair. The guy is so talented. He's very, very good wide receiver, but he's a little long in the tooth. There's questions about his passion. I don't know. I probably wouldn't want to mess with Calvin Ridley overall.
Yeah. So tough to pin down that value. But David E., great question.
Great question, David E. We go on to Steven C. He says, I'm RB needy in my 1QB full PPR dynasty league. My top guys are Javonte Williams and Chase Edmonds. A guy is offering me Nick Chubb for Terry McLaurin and DeAndre Hopkins. I have Justin Jefferson, Deebo Samuel, Michael Thomas, Jalen Waddle, Marquise Brown, and Rashad Bateman. Do I trade for the 26-year-old non-third down RB or draft Cook or Damian Pierce from the 10 spot? What do you think on this one, Fitzy?
Yeah, no way am I making that trade. Because you are in a vacuum, you're just giving up too much. And I know that sometimes the temptation when you are overloaded at a position, and he is stacked at wide receiver, yes. Yeah. But I still do not want to give up a big net loss. Like, I think McLaurin for Chubb is almost pretty fair.
That's fair to me, too.
And to have to throw in Hopkins, who might have another couple of years of you know, at least wide receiver 2 production, I don't know. I think that's just too much. So I would bite the bullet here and draft either Cook or Pierce. And by the way, Boggs, if there are rookie drafts being held now, is Pierce pretty squarely in the first round?
Yeah, I think so. Specifically with the scarcity of running backs out of this class, right? We have the top 2 guys who are still top 2. I know Walker's a little bit banged up, and Breece Hall, you know, doesn't look like the lock that he was coming in. But there's still, because you don't have other, you know, many other backs, I think they're 1 and 2. Brian Robinson also moved up a lot. Tyler Allgeier has moved up a lot. But Damian Pierce, I mean, you know, to hear Lovie Smith say that Damian Pierce doesn't need to play because I know what I have in him, and then Marlon Mack and Rex Burkhead, these multi-year vets, are playing instead of him, just solidify to me that he's the number one running back for them. So yeah, I think it's pretty easy. He's in that first spot.
Who are you taking? Who are you taking first, Pierce or Cook?
Oh man, I still like Cook better. I still like Cook better. So I think it's still Cook for me overall. I just think that, you know, and we saw he had a little flash in the most recent preseason game. It's going to be muddy this year, but your best player eventually is going to get on the field. And in that backfield between Singletary, Cook, and Moss, it's just not close to me that James Cook is the best running back of the bunch. Is he a guy that can take 20 to 25 touches a game? No. So someone else is going to have to be sprinkled in, but he's a big splash play guy. So if he's getting 15 touches, I'm going to trust that one of those is for a big play or one of those is for a touchdown. So for me, it's still going to be James Cook because Pierce is more of a grinder. The offense is so much better long-term in Buffalo than it is in Houston too. So still Cook slightly for me there.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. It's close to a coin flip for me, but I agree. I'm Cook a little higher.
I don't hate the deal as much as you do here. I would say that it's slightly unfair, but you know, because you're stacked at wide receiver, I think this is a doable trade. Probably like I'm at least squeezing a rookie pick out back. You know, I'm trying to get a second. You're not going to get a first. I'm trying to get a second. I'm trying to get a third. I'm trying to get whatever, a defense, a kicker. Like if he has Justin Tucker or, you know, the Patriots defense or something good, I'm squeezing something else out, because when you have a deal like this in place, the guy that is dealing for McLaurin and Hopkins, he's not going to let a second or third round pick hold up this deal. you know. So for me, I'm at least squeezing a little bit more out is what I'd say. But I the idea of dealing out of your strength is very smart, Steven. So I would say a deal like this, maybe not this deal specifically. The next question here, Fitzy, is from our buddy Sinful on Twitter. Some of these names are fantastic. I love this one. And it's just very simple. Who are the receivers to own in Cleveland?
David Bell. Next question. No, so that's my choice. That's my guy. You know, I like David Bell a lot. Mm-hmm. I think he could be, you know, poor man's Anquan Boldin. But it's funny, like, I mean, geez, could you get Amari Cooper for a late second in 2023 drafts now? Like, Amari Cooper's stock has dropped so far that I'm almost like kind of interested if someone's selling and my championship window is open, like if I can get him for some sort of, you know, non first round pick next year. And I know maybe, you know, since I am a contender, that second round pick I'm giving up is not going to be in the top half of the second round unless things go absolutely haywire for my team. I do that, you know, like there's a reasonable price for everyone. And man, Cooper's price has really dropped. So that's kind of it. I'm not a Donovan Peoples-Jones guy. I mean, I've got Anthony Schwartz on my main dynasty team, but he's probably like, you know, if I have to cut someone to make room for someone else,
he's a kick returner.
Schwartz is probably the next man up for me. He's fast, but we don't know if he can really play. So
Schwartz could develop into something, but he's a long-term project because he has Olympic level speed, right? He's unbelievably fast, but nothing else really comes natural to him. So, you know, the traits are there. He needs to be reined in a little bit. DPJ has size, but on most teams, he's your third or fourth wide receiver. Cooper, like you said, is a value. David Bell is probably being a little underdrafted right now. So he's probably a solid value as well. But I think realistically, the answer for this season is nobody. I don't want anyone attached to Jacoby Brissett, you know, maybe Cooper. But I don't want DPJ for 11 games with Brissett or Jimmy G or whoever it is. You know, I don't like Njoku. I think the pieces to own in this offense are probably Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And that's it. You know, Cooper's fine. Like you said, Cooper's also okay. But just long-term, maybe David Bell with a good QB. I'm not convinced Deshaun Watson is a long-term answer, though, because who knows with him. So the next question that we have here, Fitzy, is from our guy, Dang Irving. And that's not a mistype. It is Dang. And Dang has to say, when going into a super flex startup, how important is the factor of age versus proven ability? I'm pick 8 and struggling to figure what I should take here. I know I should draft 2 QBs in the first 4 rounds, but this startup is really pushing me. So what do you think? Let's break this down first. Age versus ability here, Fitz. What do you think of that just overall and overarching?
So my general startup strategy, Boggs, is to try to win in year 2, basically. Like, I want a combination with my top guys. I want some combination of youth and proven ability. So he's picking number 8, and the guys who might fit that description, who could be available at 8, probably not all these guys, but some should be available. Joe Burrow, Kyler Murray, if you're, you know, pushing the quarterback, value and wouldn't feel comfortable taking a non-quarterback. I think one of those two guys should be there at 8. And, otherwise, certainly Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson. Like, I'd be fine with either of those guys at number 8.
For me, I've got my top 3 QBs first in Allen, Mahomes, and Jackson. Then I've got JT at 4. Then I have Chase and Jefferson. Then Herbert and Burrow is actually my 8th pick as well. Then McCaffrey and Harris and Pitts in there as well. So I think most of the time, like you said, Dang, I want a QB. So if Burrow is there, Burrow is probably going to be my guy. If somehow Herbert fell, you know, if you get a run of a couple RBs and those two top wide receivers in Jefferson and Chase going as well, there's a possibility maybe Herbert falls to you in a super flex. As doubtful as it is, that would be probably an insta pick for me at that spot. And in terms of age versus proven ability, I mean, see it on the field. You know what I mean? Like, there's all kinds of upside, specifically on rookies. But there's also, there's many rookies. You know, you don't just have to take the very top one. This year is one. This is a class in 2022 that offers us some depth. So, you know, I think that you can wait on some youth and pick up some youth later. Get guys that you've seen do it before first is what I would say. And then aim for that upside a little bit later. I have no issue. Like in a dynasty startup fits, guys will fall too far. Adam Thielen's going to fall too far in your draft. George Kittle gonna fall too far. Kelsey might even do it because he's long in the tooth. So I love taking advantage of the elder statesman dropping. You know, I mean, there's guys that, you know, I kind of question. I think the biggest one is the one we talked about in the last question, though. Hopkins, Fitz, what are you doing with Hopkins in Dynasty right now? Because, you know, he's suspended because he needed the steroids to recover from this injury. And, you know, he's trying to shorten it, trying to get away with it. He got clipped and now he's going to miss six games. But also, I think it tells you more about where he is in his career having to do the steroids, right?
I'm holding. There's not much you can do.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're not going to get much for him.
What about startup? Where are you taking him in a startup?
Oh, man. I'm probably not thinking about him in, like, the first 10 rounds, honestly. Like, I'm trying to stock with other things. But you make a good point about, one of the easiest things to do is win a dynasty league in year one, or at least get yourself in great position, because everyone is going to be angling for youth. And like you said, you can go in there and scoop up Kelsey and Thielen and all these guys on the cheap and get them at, you know, still reasonable values without stupidly overpaying.
Yeah, exactly. So just keep that in mind as you're drafting. Some of them older guys are going to start to slip and fall, and you don't want to be stuck with, you know, a team that hovers around my age range. But, you know, you're probably not going to do that anyway. So before we go to the next question, I got to tell you guys about Reality Sports Online. And by now, most of you have probably heard about Reality Sports Online, the powerful fantasy sports platform where owners get to build and manage their dynasty team like an NFL manager. But the question is, have you tried it? It's time to go see what all the buzz in the dynasty community is about. Free agency, multi-year contracts, a rookie draft, multi-team trades, franchise tags, contract extensions, first-round rookie options, automated contracts and salary cap functionality, and much, much more. Think it sounds complicated? It's not. The best thing about Reality Sports Online Fantasy Front Office is that it doesn't take any more time than a standard league. It just requires more strategy. That's it. Think you're among the fantasy elite? Well, this is the platform to test your mettle. Still not sure? You can test your general manager skills for free, FREE, in a mock free agency auction today. If you like what you see, use the promo code FANTASYPROS to receive a 10% discount on your team or league today. Fantasy just got real at realitysportsonline.com. We go over to our buddy Zach here, and Zach asks us, how would you rank the top rookie wide receivers for Dynasty after 2 weeks of the preseason? Do you have any changes from before? So, Fitz, have you made any drastic changes in your wide receiver rankings?
Yeah, so this is a fascinating question. I don't think the upper reaches are changing too much. I can't remember where I had the big movers, I think, are Treylon Burks down, George Pickens up. Like, those are the main ones. So for me right now, it would be Drake London, Chris Olave, Jameson Williams, Garrett Wilson, Jahan Dotson, and then probably Pickens right after Dotson, Sky Moore and Burks. And maybe Sky is a little low for you, Boggs. He was a guy I would have been willing to move up, but, you know, not encouraging that he's not really getting any reps with the ones in preseason. Might just be one of those veteran deference things, make the rookie earn it. But, you know, like, that's kind of where Sky Moore was for me before. I haven't really changed my opinion of him. Like, I'm a little worried about Burks. You know what I mean? I probably would have taken him as early as 104 in some drafts. I got him at 111 in my favorite home league draft and was just giddy about it at the time. Now I feel like if we redrafted today, 111 is about where he'd go.
Yeah, look, I'm not Mike Vrabel's a hardo. And when I say that, what I mean is that he is a you are going to have to earn it with your play and practice. Practice matters for Mike Vrabel. He's not a, hey, you know, we've seen the film. We know what this guy can do. He doesn't need that many reps. He's not that guy. He is the guy that says you earn your spot. He already named Nick Westbrook-Ikhina the wide receiver two for week one. Is that going to last? Absolutely not. But Treylon Burks was my number two wideout coming in to the season after the draft. And, you know, I'll move him down maybe a little bit. Honestly, though, my top five was a tier here of Williams, Burks, Wilson, London, and Olave. That is the top tier. And nothing changes that. I still think those guys are the most skilled. I would move Dotson over Moore. I would move Pickens up just behind Jahan Dotson, maybe over Jahan Dotson. They would be close to me. I just wasn't sure how Pickens was going to look this year coming off the ACL and being his first camp. And all that. He looks amazing. You know, he looked good in the playoff as well. You know, I think obviously the biggest follower would be John Metchie because of his leukemia, but prayers up and let's hope that he is back for next season. Cause I still like him a lot. But really, it's like the back end moving. It is, you know, maybe Tolbert has to be a little bit down. Alec Pierce has to come up a little bit. You know, Tyquan Thornton looked good before his collarbone injury. Romeo Dubs probably has to move ahead of guys like David Bell. What do you think, Dubs or Wandale Robinson? I think I still have Robinson, but that's close.
I'd rather have Dubs.
Okay.
Dobbs,
however you say his name.
Yeah, so I think I would rather have Dobbs just because, you know, team small receiver. We talked about this, the track record of guys under 5'9", not real illustrious. So, yeah, Dobbs would be a guy who'd have to come up. I mean, hell, we'd probably have to draft Lance McCutcheon somewhere, right? At least a fourth rounder.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to move him up that high. You know, I know they got the Victor Cruz stuff, but there's too many wide receivers in LA for him to last,
probably,
I think.
Probably.
So, look, Atlanta needs wide receivers. Houston needs wide receivers. There's teams that could use them for sure. What about Khalil Shakir? Because it sounds like Isaiah McKenzie is in play for that number three job here. What do you do with your boy, Khalil Shakir here, Fitzy?
So he is, Boggs, but apparently they are starting to give Shakir some snaps on the outside because they realize they've got a glut of slot receivers and really no dependable backup on the outside for Diggs and Gabe Davis. So that, you know, fascinates me. And Shakir has balled out the preseason. So
yeah, he's been good.
Yeah, if anything, I'm feeling, you know, even better about him now than I was going in. You know, the Isaiah McKenzie love notwithstanding. Like, I think McKenzie and Shakir could both be valuable. What it does is just basically kills Jamison Crowder, I think, which,
yeah, you know,
I was never kind of a Jamison Crowder fan to begin with, so that's fine with me to get him out of the way. But yeah,
man, Crowder won me plenty of PPR leagues, man. You know, being a wide receiver two that you could draft as a wide receiver four and fill in for your bye weeks or injuries. God, was he ever good.
Wait. Was he ever a wide receiver two, though? I feel like, you know, peak Jamison Crowder was like seven.
In PPR,
64.
When he's getting like 75 catches and stuff like that, you know, I mean, he's annoyingly useful. Like, you know, there was never like, you know, he never had crazy upside. Like, you know, he never had the upside of like Jahan Dotson right now or anything like that, but he was very solid for a while. So he was also with some bad QBs with the Jets.
He was.
You know, I wouldn't say that he ever got a real fair shake with a good QB. It's kind of like we talked about DJ Chark. Look at the QBs that dude has played with. It's been Bortles and Minshew in the first three games of Trevor Lawrence's career. So Jared Goff is an enormous upgrade, you know. So having Josh Allen, you'd think would make him better, but just a little too long in the tooth for it.
Now, that's I also think Crowder was saddled with Kirk Cousins in Washington for at least a year.
That's right. I even forgot he was in Washington, to be honest with you. So, and that, yeah, early Kirk Cousins was a rough Kirk Cousins. Much better now, obviously. The next question is from our buddy Al G's. I love these names, man. He says, I'm in a startup dynasty Superflex league for the first time, 12 teams. What's an ideal start if you're picking four overall? Would you hit QB in the first two rounds, or is that too aggressive? We start three wide receivers as well, trying to figure out what positions to prioritize. Fitz, you know my take on this, and it's never going to change. In a super flex league, everybody wants three QBs, right? You want two starters, you want a guy for bye weeks and injuries. That's 36 QBs. There ain't 36 QBs in the NFL that start on a week-to-week basis. So you got to hit those QBs early and often. If I'm sitting at pick number four, I'm taking one of my top four quarterbacks. That's it's fairly simple for me. Maybe if QBs don't go early and, you know, for whatever reason, it's like, you know, Chase Jefferson QB and you're sitting there with Jonathan Taylor, I'd entertain that. If JT goes and you're sitting with one of the wide receivers, I would entertain that. But for me, it's the simple math, and the simple math is draft QBs early and often, correct?
Yeah. So I would probably personally lean Burrow here, because I am definitely above everyone else on Burrow. I think the guy's a stud, and I'm guessing.
Do you have him over Herbert?
I do.
Okay.
I think Herbert's good, but it kind of bothers me a little bit that his YPAs have been kind of pedestrian. The first, I won't say pedestrian, 7.3 and 7.5, not bad. But I just wonder how much of it is volume related. And yeah, he's been, I think, ninth and second in pass attempts his first 2 years or whatever. Like, what happens if that defense all of a sudden is just lights out this year, which it could be? I mean, they've got, good Lord, they've got, Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack as their edge rushers.
And JC Jackson.
Yeah, yeah. Jackson just had surgery, but it's not going to be a major thing. Should be back soon.
They got crazy. Derwin was questionable and they dropped the bag on him. So he's there.
Derwin and Adderley, that's one of the best safety combos in the league. Like, this is a tough defense all of a sudden. And like, what if they don't need to throw as much? So whereas Burrow, like, I've gone on about that 8.9 YPA from last year, that between Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, their entire careers, one season, Aaron Rodgers with a YPA better than 8.9. Brady's never done it. Like, Burrow is the real freaking deal, and he's going to be tied to Jamar Chase and T. Higgins for a long time. Like, there's are good things coming from him. So he's my first guy. But Boggs, like, I mean, you could probably talk me into Jonathan Taylor. What about Kyle Pitts at 104?
You know,
too early?
Yeah, I think it's too early.
Solve your tight end position for the next decade with an exclamation point, you know?
You know, you should, but let's not forget tight end is a brutal position. You're either going up against defensive ends that are too big, or you're racing against linebackers and safeties that are fast. So it's a hard position. It's rare that a guy that plays as many snaps as like Kelce or Kittle or Pitts or any of these top end guys, that they do play every single game. And if they do play every, like Mark Andrews last year was banged up a bunch. So I just think the position's a little too brutal to be taking him that early. I'd say like 7-8 is my Pitts range.
So what are we looking at coming back? Like, I don't think Trey Lance is falling to like end there. Trevor Lawrence might.
Look, Trevor Lawrence is a good gamble. You know what I mean? He's a very, very good gamble at this point in the draft.
Would you rather have Trevor Lawrence at I guess that would be 209, or would you rather have Javonte Williams?
I'd rather have Trevor Lawrence, you know.
Quarterback, sure.
It's the QB thing for me. Like, running backs are hard, you know, that they're hard to come by. They're hard to draft because, like we said, in this draft specifically, you know, coming out of it, it's just Hall and Walker, and we're definitely overdrafting those guys. They're very good backs, but they're not what this top end group of wideouts are to me anyway. They're very, very good, but they shouldn't be in that range. But because of the scarcity of RBs, you have to put them up at the top of that draft, unless you're in super flex and maybe it's Kenny Pickett at the top and then everybody else. But I think in a super flex draft, I'm just trying to secure my QBs fast. Now, if QBs are sparse in your draft, then you can probably wait on, or you get one of those top, like I have Trey Lance at 7 in my QBs for Dynasty. So if he fell back to you, that would be an unbelievable get, in my opinion. So, I at least want two QBs in my first three picks, especially sitting there on the end, because, you know, when you snake back around, unless you're doing the third round reversal or whatever, when you snake back around, you should be able to get somebody good. So for me, it'd be like QB, BPA, QB, or, you know, if BPA is a QB, then I'm hitting running backs. So that's probably what I would do in most scenarios there. Did we get that one? Is that all of it? So
yeah, I think okay. That's it. And like, I think the dilemma for him, I agree that most people are taking the QB there at the fourth spot.
Yeah.
You've got to see what the board looks like, because quarterback is definitely going to be kind of weird in that spot at the 209. And maybe you just like do take the best player available, someone like Javonte Williams or you know, whatever else might be there, and come back with, like, I don't know, a Derek Carr at 304.
Sure.
Or someone like, you know, someone more of a veteran who, yeah, like you're not going to get an infinite run with them, but at least they should be solid for the next couple of years and you can figure out something else at quarterback down the road.
Our next question is from our guy Wyatt, and I love this question. Are you buying low on Antonio Gibson as his cost continues to fall? This is an easy yes for me, Fitz. What do you think about Antonio Gibson?
Yeah, my guy Wyatt, who, you know, not only bought me a beer at the Fantasy Football Expo in Canton, but now is lobbing me this fat pitch right over the heart of the plate. And because, man, like getting me to take up the sword and shield for Antonio Gibson these days is not hard, man. And like everyone else on Fantasy Twitter is taking up the torches and pitchforks, man. Like, no love for Antonio Gibson these days. Everyone just wants to freaking bury the guy. But Boggs, we've talked about this, man. Same size and speed as Jonathan Taylor, basically. Pass catching history as a former college wideout. Double digit touchdowns in his first 2 years. Played with a cracked shin bone, and he just turned 24 years old. And we're going to give up on this guy? Hell no, man.
And think about the long-term future of this offense. When you have a guy like Gibson, you have McLaurin, you have Watson, hopefully you get a QB that isn't Carson Wentz in this draft, or sign someone, you know what I mean? There will be guys available. So I just think we haven't hit the top end. And I think what a lot of people miss on is just the starting job. It's just the starting job. It's just the starting. I want the starter. And look, that makes sense. That should be where your head's at most of the time. But when you look in terms of game script and what they're going to do, like, just because Brian Robinson is a good running back doesn't mean Antonio Gibson goes away. We saw him returning kicks. We saw him lining up out wide at wide receiver, not a slot guy, out wide at wide receiver. The pass was way underthrown by Carson Wentz on his one target, but they're going to find a way to get him the football in this team. And he's still going to get probably close to 15 touches a game, even if Brian Robinson is also getting 15 carries a game. So I've always thought from the jump that McKissick might be the odd man out here, because you have your thumper in Robinson and you have your third down back in Gibson. So McKissick, maybe he comes in on, like, you know, obviously he will play in pass catching downs still, but I just don't think he's going to have another 70 catch season with both these guys out there. So, because you do have depth at wide receiver now too, because Gibson's going to play wide out. Dyami Brown is there. Curtis Samuel is healthy-ish, I guess, now. I think that's the best you could probably get for Curtis Samuel, is healthy-ish ever anymore. But, Gibson's going to have a role. It's just not going to be the same exact role that he had last year. They're still going to put the ball in his hands. He's still a weapon.
Yeah, and Boggs, lest anyone believe that, you know, Ron Rivera doesn't like Antonio Gibson or whatever, our guy Cody Carpentier was going on a rant about this past weekend where he's like, you're giving up on Antonio Gibson? Are you freaking crazy? And he dug up some old clips of Ron Rivera in press conferences talking about Gibson, talking about him like he was a son.
Right.
You know? So, like, let's not make the mistake of thinking that, like, Antonio Gibson is on the outs here with Rivera and the staff. Like, it's just not the case. So, yeah, I mean, maybe they were punishing him for a fumble. But, like, if you're going to quit on a guy with this profile, and it's not just a profile. It's not like we hope he can become something. The dude's already scored, like, 21 touchdowns in 2 years.
If they don't believe him, someone else will, and they'll trade for him.
Yeah, so, now is the time to make offers for Antonio Gibson in Dynasty. Like, go 100%. Out and do it.
Buy low, 100,000,000%.
Yeah, although it'll be interesting to see if Shane Manila, another friend of the show, checkmates me with that. That basically the Antonio Gibson for James Cook trade, and then he drafts Brian Robinson in the second round. So he is trying to set me up to mock me for years to come if this all works his way. So we'll see.
Well, you know, look, I traded Jose Altuve for Rafael DePaul in a league. Okay. So, like, it gets worse, is all I'm saying. Enjoyer of sports. I love that name. My team is weak at running back, strong at wide receiver, full PPR. Should I take Walker or London at 1.02 in the rookie draft? What do you think here, Fitz?
I'm kind of team Walker anyway, regardless of his team need.
Yeah.
So it's just, you had a rookie class that was fairly deep at wide receiver and not really that deep. Maybe it's a little deeper than we first thought now that it looks like Damian Pierce might be something. And you know,
Brian Robinson.
Yeah, Brian Robinson. But still, man, like Ken Walker, I'm not worried about the hernia. I'm not worried about how Pete Carroll is going to deploy these guys early on. Even if Rashad Penny's still the guy, and we did see Penny get drafted in the first round only to basically, you know, be on dry ice for a couple of years.
Yeah.
So that could happen with Walker too, but man, he's such a good prospect. So I'm taking him still here. And if he needs running backs anyway, like, all the more reason.
Yeah. Look, Walker is a horse. You know, he's a guy that can take that 300 carries, 300 touches, whatever it is with him. And look, just because he didn't catch the football in college doesn't mean he can't catch the football. You've heard Fitz say this. You've heard me say this. You've heard tons of people say this. Just because a guy didn't get opportunities, the same thing with Zamir White. Zamir White didn't get opportunity to catch the ball because they had James Cook. Doesn't mean he can't do it. It means they had someone to do it. Now, Michigan State, it was more about just the way the offense ran and not throwing the ball to the running backs a lot. You know, he's got to get better at it. I'm not saying he's good at it. I'm just saying it's not something that you just wipe off the table from him. Like Sony Michel, we knew probably wasn't going to be able to catch the ball very well. And he has proven that to be correct in his NFL career. He doesn't catch a lot of footballs, right? So there are guys coming out that get this label that it's appropriate. I just don't know that it's appropriate with Walker. It might be, but he just didn't see enough opportunity. So I think he's a three down back. I think Rashad Penny's made of glass. He's never going to be able to stay on the field. Availability is the best ability. I know Walker's banged up right now, but this isn't a long-term injury. So I think he's going to be just fine. So I am all aboard the Walker train here. Just the depth of wide receiver is too good. I mean, you know, look at these wide receivers that we were talking about late, Fitzy. I mean, we're talking about Tolbert and Pickens and Pierce going late behind Sky Moore, and people don't even think about Dotson that much. So wide receiver is deep. So I'm taking one of those top two RBs on the board for sure.
Yeah, dude, he can get Tolbert coming back at like 202.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So just too much depth, especially when you're already good at wide receiver. There will be some years where it just doesn't add up, you know, where the wide receiver one is too good.
Right.
But if I was taking a wide receiver there, it would still be Jameson Williams to me over Drake London at the second spot, unless that is who is going one. And then, I don't know, Walker or Hall. I'm still team Hall. What do you think right now? The second.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. So if Breece Hall is there, we would change the whole thing, but we assume he goes number one. If you are taking a wide receiver, take Jamison Williams. Douglas Powers, he says, how should you approach your first Superflex startup if you're drafting closer to the back of the first round? 12-team, full PPR. He has pick 11. This is where we get to our guy, Kyle Pitts, I think, Fitzy, right?
Boggs, like the dream start for me in this position. And I don't know, like, I don't know which guy you take first. What if you could do, could you get Pitts and Lance here? A Pitts-Lance start. Think of how sweet that would be from the back end. Because I don't think there's the value to go, there's the value to go double quarterback here. Like, the guys here at quarterback are going to be like Lance, Deshaun Watson, and probably like Dak Prescott.
Yeah,
that's kind of what you're looking for at the back end at quarterback. And like,
you might throw Jalen in there. You know, I know people don't like Jalen long term, but Kai is putting up points.
Yeah. Hurts or Lance for you right now? Lance, right?
Oh, man.
Lance guy. Tough call.
It's so close. I have Hurts ahead, but I have him one spot ahead. So, I don't. I'm sorry. My bad. I have Lance at seven. I have 7, 8, 9. I forgot I moved Lance up that high. 7 for Lance, 8 for Prescott, 9 for Hurts.
So yeah.
I have Hurts one spot ahead of Lawrence. That's who I was thinking of.
I mean, I think Hurts is a better runner. Hurts is a better runner than Lance, but maybe not by that much.
And yeah, I don't know. I think that's close.
Yeah, but I think Lance like could be an above average NFL quarterback.
And yes.
As far as passing, and I don't think Hurts is ever going to be that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So, it's Lance Pitts. That'd be a home run, man.
I mean, so if you were sitting
and then
there,
some running backs are going to fall because people are going to be taking QBs, especially people that didn't take QBs in round one. So I know you're going to have that long wait after that turn for your 3-4 turn there, but you're going to get some RBs to fall back to you because of the people wanting to take QBs and wide receivers because wide receivers last longer. So I think you're going to get a good fall.
If you're trying to do that Pitts-Lance combo and you've got to worry about team 12 taking one of those guys off the table, how do you play that? Do you play it Pitts first, then Lance, or Lance Pitts and then Lance?
Pitts first and then Lance, because like as much as I want a QB, and I do, and I'm more than okay taking QBs, if Pitts goes, and you're sitting there like, well, what the hell do I do now? Take two QBs. I'm all about it. You know, Lance and Lawrence or something like that would be an insane start. Or high
at
floor
202 or whatever. Sure.
Yeah. High floor with Dak as well could be good. There's no one who else is in Pitts's category. It's Pitts and then Andrews and then nobody. You know,
right?
Because Kelsey's so old, Kittle's so old in terms of their NFL career and for that position of tight end. So I think that it's Pitts by a wide margin at that one spot for tight end in Dynasty.
Yeah,
so
we gotta wait for Michael Mayer and Brock. What's his name from Georgia? Yeah. So the cavalry,
Bowers.
The cavalry is coming at tight end, but not just yet.
Yeah. Bowers is a couple of years away too. Chad G says, how much do you prioritize your third QB in Superflex? Very high for me. Obviously it's not just for the depth, also for the trade commodity of it. And like especially if you have deep benches there, Fitz, I'm taking a third QB early. I'm taking a fourth QB. Like if you can get Willis late or Corral now that he's hurt, is off of everybody's mind. You know, if I can get a QB late as well, because they hold so much trade value because of the scarcity of that position, specifically in anything 12 or bigger, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I want one for sure. We know it's a musical chairs game with 32 teams, 32 starting spots, 12 team league. You know, that's everyone gets two. And then three more teams get one. Although, you've always got the situations like, Mariota, Ritter, Trubisky, and Pickett. So, yeah, it's always fun to play that. But I know, like, I've got two quarterbacks in my home dynasty league where I have lost in the championship the last 2 years. Right now, I've only got Kyler Murray and Tua, and I don't have a third. Like, my number three is like, it's either Sam Howell or Sam Darnold. So, you know, and I've talked about the framework of a deal for Baker Mayfield from a guy who's got a glut of quarterbacks.
This is what we're talking about. This is what you want to avoid. You don't want to have to be the guy dealing for Baker Mayfield because you have to have him, right?
Like, Boggs, I think I could get him for Kadarius Toney. Would you trade Kadarius Toney for Baker Mayfield?
Yeah.
Super flex.
I would. Yeah.
It's kind of the cost. I don't want to, but
you have to because it's scarcity.
It's the cost of doing business in a super flex league, man. It just is.
Yeah, it sucks. But like you said, that's the cost of doing business. And that's why you take extras at the end. You take Willis. Even like Mason Rudolph has made himself a little bit of money here in this preseason. So, you know, Trubisky and Pickett, you know, guys like this, you got to think about swooping up after, because a lot of people, they get their two QBs and then they go, all right, I'll take a third one. When I take a third one, they don't think about it again. So it's number one, it's smart for you to even ask the question or be thinking about it. And number two, hoard those QBs and you can trade them for a king's ransom. I've done it in every league. I have 16 man leagues where I do the same thing. It's not a super flex. It's a regular league, but that's 16. Everybody gets two. That's 32 starters. Everybody gets two. And then what are you doing with the Seahawks and the Falcons and the Panthers and the Steelers? Like these teams that might be playing musical chairs at QB. So hoard them in those leagues, the deeper leagues as well. Scarcity of position, RPV, as our boy Joe would say. Ross says, are you happy with the dynasty startup of Pitts, Diggs, Pitts, AJ Brown, or Diggs, AJ Brown? I have the 12th pick in a 12 team. So what do you think about these combos here, Fitzy?
I'm guessing it's one QB.
Right. It has to be. Yeah.
Yeah. I like Pitts, Diggs. I think probably my favorite is Pitts, AJ Brown there. Like Brown a little more than Diggs and Dynasty. It's close. I like the two Pitts combinations. I'm less excited about the Diggs-Brown combination. Maybe it's just, I don't know. It's like Diggs, we're not worried about Diggs aging out just yet. You know, he's just hitting his later 20s. So like Diggs has got a pretty solid 3 or 4 year window before we start worrying about age with him. But I just...
Would you consider like Javonte over a guy like Diggs, something like that? I think I'd rather do that if a Javonte or, DeAndre Swift or maybe even Barkley fell back to you at that spot. I think I would probably rather have the QB than go wide receiver.
Yeah, that's kind of it. And generally, it's weird. It's almost counterintuitive, Boggs. But like in Dynasty, I almost am more running back centric in startups than I am in like redraft. I know like he's probably got a 3 wide receiver league, which is why he's thinking about that wide receiver start. And you should have strong wide receivers. But like in a Dynasty startup, man, they're like, you know, wide receivers, I could get excited about going deep, deep, deep into the draft, but they run out pretty quick at running back. So I almost want to get one of those guys at the top and then, you know, just keep hitting on wide receivers kind of throughout the first 10, 12, 14 rounds, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So let me ask you about this because we talked about this off air and we didn't say it on air. You said to me the other day, it's a fallacy that a wide receiver is deep. You're not really buying into it. Now, is that just for redraft or is that a dynasty perspective as well? Because if it is in dynasty, I think we got a fight on our hands because I'm going to fight you on that one.
To some extent. I mean, in dynasty, like there's always the youth you can look toward, hope for. But like generally... The thing is, if you're playing in a league where you got to start 3 Boggs, you know, you might have Jarvis Landry. Oh, look, you know, I can get Jarvis Landry at wide receiver 60. Wide receiver is so deep. Do you really want to be starting Jarvis Landry as your third wideout every week? Like, hell no, man. There's just no ceiling there. So,
It becomes, and it's funny because we have the same thing going on in baseball. And I know you play a little bit of fantasy baseball as well, where it's like, you know, because any guy can hit 20 homers, you can't take a donut for speed. You know what I mean? Like you have to have a player that hits homers at every position because it's an arms race. Now it's kind of like that at wide receiver too. It almost, because the market is so saturated, you have to keep pace with everyone because they're drafting these good wide receivers. So I'll say it's a fallacy that you can't take, you can skip the first five rounds without taking a wide receiver. I don't want to go that deep. But I'd say I like that strategy way more than going the first five rounds with the other positions.
You know? I mean, that's just it. Like if you're one of these people who likes to go running back, like get your third one and flex like a good third running back. I mean, you're going to get just crushed. You are going to get squashed at the wide receiver position, especially if you have to start three of them. I think you can still hit it right,
but you have to guess right. That's the thing.
Good luck,
it
man.
It's a minefield. Like for me, that's guys like Juju. You know, Juju is going too late. Even in your dynasty drafts, he's probably going to be going too late as well. I think Olave is going a little bit too late. I'm still in on Garrett Wilson. I don't care about the depth chart in week one. I care about the depth chart at the end of the year. And I think by week three or four, Garrett Wilson is your number two wide receiver for the Jets. You know, will they have a decent quarterback or will it be the elite Joe Flacco throwing? That's a big question. So I just want to make sure we talked about that because that's been crawling around. It's been an earwig, for a couple weeks since I had you on ITL and you kind of mentioned that as you were leaving. I was like, what? You know, I'm like, all right, I'm going to have to bring that up with Fitz again. So I'm glad we got it on the show here. All right. So did we answer Ross's? We got Ross's question. Okay. The last question here is from our guy, Joe. He says, I'm in a 12 team startup superflex, a lot of startup superflexes going on, picking first overall. Should I try to trade up into the early second round to make sure I get a second top QB? If so, what should I be willing to give up? What do you think, Fitzy? Is that too expensive, or do you think that's something that you should be at least looking for?
I know what the price is for trades like this, Boggs. It's really expensive. You're going to give up a net loss for sure as far as the value of your draft picks.
Let me ask you this one. I think you're probably right. But if you gave up your second round pick this year and your first round pick in 2023 with a good draft class and a draft class that is deep at QB, is that something you'd be willing to do, or do you just think, hey, it's just way too cost prohibitive?
No, I'm not giving up my first rounders in 2023 for anything, Boggs. I like that class way too much. I don't want to be kicking myself for missing the chance to draft Bijan Robinson. Are you kidding me?
Look, I'm with you. You know me. It's all Bijan Robinson. Maybe not in Superflex, but maybe even in Superflex. We'll see. But what if the only three position non-QBs to go in the first round are Chase, Jefferson, and JT? Like, it's just a glut of QBs going there. Are you willing to trade up? Let's say Lance or Lawrence is there. Will you be willing to trade, do that deal? You do a one next year and a two, and you're going to get Lance or Lawrence, but you're going to be shut out of that first round next season.
Yeah, when you take what the other guy's going to charge you in addition to those picks, like there are also going to be a sacrifice of picks in this startup draft. Like, okay. I guarantee you are giving up like net value with this trade. Like, yes, you get the two quarterbacks, you don't have that, but you're going to be way behind, I think, at the other positions because of what you're giving up in a deal like this. It's just how the market is, man. I've seen it in way too many startup drafts. I would say wait, and maybe, you know, you can possibly get Justin Fields at the end of the second round, you know, or later in that, like get your number one QB. And then later on, like in the Mac Jones, Derek Carr, like you don't have to go 1-2 right off the bat with quarterback. Like I'd rather see Joe just like, you know, get that, get Josh Allen at 101 and then, you know, get yourself something else that like, just play it patiently. If you don't like the quarterback value, if Justin Fields isn't there at 212 and 301, take two non-quarterbacks and then come back. You know, you might have Mac Jones sitting there for you by the time it gets back to you at the end of the fourth.
Also, like if there's a specific guy that you have in mind that you want, right? And you can just say, hey, look, I'm going to wait. If he goes before pick six in the second round, it's just going to be too much to move there and to do it. But if you're getting like you're at pick six, that guy's still there. Maybe then you jump in and you go, hey, you know, I want to move up six spots to take a player here. I'll give you my next pick and then a second next year. And you're like, all you're doing is moving back six spots. You know, maybe you're not going to be able to talk them into it, something like that. But if like that guy is still on the board and he keeps slipping and slipping and slipping. If you don't get him in three picks, you're going to be pissed. So what I'd say is at least keep an open mind to make the deal. Like, making the deal way ahead of time isn't even guaranteeing you that that guy that you want is going to be there, you know? So what I would say is watch the board as the draft is happening. And if you're doing a live draft instead of a slow draft, which most people at right now are doing slow drafts, but if you're drafting this weekend or, you know, later in the week, just set up those guys that are four or five picks in front of you and say, hey, look, I might have a deal for you come the second round. And, you know, if you're waiting for your guy, you go to him and you say, hey, we talked about a potential deal. I got something to offer you. And you say, what about this? Whatever it is, you know, maybe you guys have worked on it ahead of time. You don't have to tell them who you want, but you say, look, I'm very specific. I want a certain player here. I'm not going to tell you who it is because I want them to fall. And, you know, if they keep sliding down that board a little bit, maybe it's way less cost. Maybe it's, you know, a third round pick if you're only moving up two spots. Maybe it's a second round pick if you're only moving up five or six spots. Maybe it's just like we're flipping picks here. We're trading our seconds and I'm giving you a 10 and I take your 15, something like that. Like, you know, just keep an open mind with that. If there is a specific one player that you want,
I like to think it would be that reasonable that you could do that. But like,
it doesn't always work. Yeah,
I know. I don't think anyone's dropping back five or six spots that early with that much talent on the board for just a second next year. I think they want like a second plus like your fourth round pick for their eighth or something like that. Or they're just going to say, no, I want a first rounder, in which case you just,
Well, I would rather do that deal though, that fourth and the eighth, I would rather do that deal than give up that first still. So, you know, like you said, most people are unreasonable and most trades don't get done because people are unreasonable and they have to feel like they've won. So, and if they know that you're desperate for something, maybe they won't give you that deal, but, you know, you never know is what I would say. So it never hurts to ask. You can always ask. And if what's the worst thing that they can say is no, or, you know, record it and embarrass you on the internet or something. I don't know what, but, most cases, the worst they can say is no. So at least ask. And, you know, you also open yourself as a person that makes deals if you make a deal that early in a startup. So any other points to make here before we go, Fitzy? You know, a lot of great questions. Thank you, everyone that submitted them. And if we didn't get to yours, we apologize. But these are some great questions that we had here.
Yeah, thanks to all our question askers. Great dozen questions. And, you know, hopefully we help people. I don't know if we did, but hopefully at least a couple of these people got something useful out of our conversation, Boggs.
Fitzy, we have one show left, and we're going to have the great Thor Nystrom on to discuss this 2023 NFL draft class for fantasy purposes. And it's going to be a fun one, but I'm sad that we only have one more show left to do. We're going to shelve it for the regular season. Dynasty questions can still be asked to us and we'll still be on stages and around and things like that. I'm going to be on Wednesdays with Pisa Pia after our IDP show recording, moving forward. We're going to be doing our stages after dark, but, Fitz, you know, one more show to go. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good, Boggs. I mean, I'm going to miss seeing you on a weekly basis. I know we're going to be talking on Slack, texting, you know, I'm sure we'll be texting during college football games this fall. But, dude, I'm just so excited about next week's show, man. I mean, the mega class of 2023, and we're going to be talking about it with the god of love in college football, Thor Nystrom. Like, I can't wait, man. And, like, dude, I'm just so excited. I was talking to Cody Carpentier in Canton at the Fantasy Football Expo, and Cody's, you know, a great prospect guy, too. And, we were talking, he's really excited about Will Levis.
Yeah, like, Will Levis, the weirdo that puts mayonnaise in his coffee. Right.
Big old dollop, man. And I like, I mean, between the mayonnaise and the coffee and like my flashbacks to Tim Couch going, you know, 101, like I don't know how I can get down with the Kentucky quarterback. But man, I mean, Cody was making a very compelling case. So I'll be interested to see the Josh Allen
skill set, man.
Yeah. And like, you know, Richardson of Florida, like I can't wait to see how Thor has these quarterbacks stacked up. I can't wait to hear his take on Bijan. I can't wait to hear how he's got this top tier of, you know, like who's wide behind outs. Jackson and Jigba. If maybe Jackson and Jigba isn't even the number one in his book, maybe it's Kayshon Boutte or someone like that.
Yeah.
Like I'm just really excited to get into this class a little and preview it. And I know like dynasty people are so obsessive. They're like already in the next year's draft, man. So breaking it all down with Thor and with you is going to be a blast.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So look forward to that next week. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at Bogman Sports for myself, at Fitz_FF. Fitzy, what's coming up for you this week other than our podcast with Thor next Tuesday?
Yeah, that new episode of Fitz on Fantasy is coming out this week. And, you know, just keep hitting Fantasy Pros for new articles every day. We are not going to let you down in the heart of draft season. We're going to have just tons of new stuff coming at you for the next 2 weeks. Well, pretty much the next 4 or 5 months, Bogman, but especially the next couple of weeks as you're doing your drafts.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, Welsh and I just had the incomparable Bob Harris of Football Diehard, the original Football Diehard, on our ITL show. So that was a lot of fun to talk with him about sleepers. Obviously, this show, I'm going to be on with Joe doing IDPs on a week-to-week basis during the season as well. I'm also going to have a betting pro show with the incomparable Thor Nystrom as well. So that's going to be fun. We're starting that this week because it's week zero this weekend, Fitz.
It is, man.
We've got 10 games somewhere in that range to talk about this week. So college football is upon us. So we are right at the door knocking here. So, you know, a lot going on. Just remember, follow us on Twitter at Bogman Sports, at Fitz_FF. And we will see you guys next week. Take it easy, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/Fantasy Pros.